I have a message on my heart tonight. The Bible said in chapter 2 of Matthew, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where the child should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with his mother, with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and he departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was exceeding wroth, and he sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. And when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." Pray with me a moment. Father, I thank you tonight for the privilege, Lord, to be here in the house of God with your people. I pray, Lord, you'll say something, Lord, tonight to us and through us that will be a blessing, our Father, to our people. Challenge our hearts this evening, our Father. God will give you glory for that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to speak to you for a few minutes tonight on this subject, the unheard voice of Christmas. The unheard voice of Christmas. I want you to know tonight that while many families are gathering together and it's a very festive time, there are going to be people all around you and I. Every direction that we look, like these people here in verse number 18, the Bible said there was a voice heard. Will we hear that voice? that voice of lamentation, that voice of weeping, that voice of great mourning. While we're celebrating, somebody's hurting. Somebody's weeping. Somebody's spending their first Christmas without their child. Somebody's spending their first Christmas without their spouse. Somebody's spending their first Christmas without their mom or without their dad. Are y'all listening to me tonight? And I believe that God wants us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I believe the Bible says to weep with them that weep, mourn with them that mourn, and rejoice with them that rejoice. I believe tonight that if we're not careful, we'll hear the bells of the Salvation Army, we'll hear the carols, and yet we won't hear that voice that's crying, amen. And God wants us to concentrate on that for a few minutes tonight and realize tonight that there's some that need help. Really, sometimes all they need is somebody to listen. I called and made a phone call last week, and when the lady answered the phone, I'm not going to be personal about who it was, but I really thought she was sick. She wasn't sick. She was grieving. Her heart was broke. But in her voice, it sounded just like she was very ill. And God wants us tonight to think about that for a little while. Amen. Don't get so busy this Christmas season that you don't understand and know that maybe there's a neighbor. Maybe it's somebody in line at Walmart or the grocery store. That there's somebody that we can be sensitive to the Lord and be a help to them. There are people this week that started their cancer treatment. There are people that I visited with today that may not live till Christmas. And listen, I do believe, listen, that's part of the Christian life. Amen. There's a time to rejoice, but there's a time to weep. There's a time, beloved, listen, to come alongside. Our brother mentioned a while ago, 3 in one family with cancer. And listen, you might say, well, Pastor, that really doesn't touch me. I'll say this, if you know Jesus, it should. It should touch you, amen? And it should touch you. It should touch every one of us that know the Lord. When we got people that are unsaved and we got people that are hurting, I want you in this unheard voice of Christmas, I want God to help us tonight to hear it. I want us to see in some things in the chapter, and I hope and pray to God that it will help us to be more sensitive to this voice that we need to hear. Number one, man has a problem. Mankind has a problem. I'm looking tonight mostly in the chapter at Herod. He's got a problem. First of all, his problem is deception. He's deceived. You see, in verse number 8, the Bible said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. He's a deceiver, and so is the devil, amen? Listen to me. There are people today that are hating the Jews and trying to kill the Jews. They're deceived. Are you listening to me? Amen. So there's a problem. The problem's with deception. When you look in verse number 13, and when they were departed, the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to kill him. The angel of God knew the truth. Amen. Herod wasn't after Jesus to worship him. He was after Jesus to kill him. You understand what I mean? You say, well, Pastor, what's that got to do with hearing that voice of weeping? Many people are deceived, and they need somebody, beloved, to come alongside. Amen. There are many people that think Christmas is all about the lights and all about the stuff, and they don't even know the story of the Savior, let alone know the Savior. And you and I could share that story with them. And then not only in man's problem is there deception, but there's displeasure or anger, if you please. In chapter 2 and verse number 16, the Word of God then said this, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. Amen. He was mad. Amen. Because the wise men didn't do what he thought they should do. There are a lot of people that are going to spend this Christmas angry and bitter. You say, well, Pastor, just let them be angry and let them be bitter. How many is glad Jesus didn't just let you be angry and let you be bitter? But he came to where you were and he came to where I was. Amen. And he gave us something to rejoice in, that many people, all they need is a good dose of Holy Ghost salvation. And beloved, their life would be turned around and the bitterness would be turned into blessing. And then we also see men's problem, not only in the deception and not only in the displeasure, the anger, if you please, but his problem is death. He's going to die. Look in verse number 19. But when Herod was dead, let me tell you something. Everybody in this room is going to die. Everybody we meet between now and Christmas is going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And I believe if we'd understand, listen, that individual's going to die, we might be more apt to hear the voice of weeping and the voice of lamentation. So the first thing in the message tonight, it would help us to hear that unheard voice of Christmas. Let me say this to you. Some don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Amen. You know where many people are going to spend their Christmas? In the bottom of a bottle. You know where others are going to spend it? In a bottle of pills. You know where others are going to spend it? They're going to spend it in the sex culture of our land. Amen. And they're miserable. He said, Pastor, you believe God's people ought to be sensitive? I know we should. We ought to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and sensitive to the needs of others, because everyone doesn't know what Christmas is all about. And we do, amen, as God's people. So the man's problem is seen in the deception of Herod, the displeasure of Herod, and then in the death of Herod. But then it's going to get a little bit better. Thank God, the unheard voice of Christmas. Man does have a problem, but aren't you glad God has a plan? True glory to God, amen? Man has a problem, but God has a plan. That little youngin that trusted Jesus on Sunday night at 9:45, I'm going to tell you something. I looked at her a while ago. She's glowing. And I said to her, I said, is it good to be forgiven? She said, yes. Amen. As I explained the gospel to her, here's what I explained. That we, by the way, I'd already shared the gospel with her before that. Some people just ain't ready at that particular time. You understand what I mean? But listen, if you just share the gospel, then water the seed. Plant the seed, then water it. Pray for them. Amen. And God will bring forth fruit. And I said to her, I said, you know, we sin because it's in our nature. That's right. Amen. You don't have to teach a child to lie. It's in their nature to lie. You've got to teach them to tell the truth. But I said this, there comes a day when we're sinning, no longer because it's in our nature, but because we choose to. And she nodded her head up and down. In other words, she knows there's things she's done, and she chose to do those things, even though she knew they were wrong. God has a plan. And beloved, listen, we need to get in on that plan. Let me give you some things here tonight. God's plan here in this chapter, it involved hurt. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, the Bible said here that the children, 2 years of age and younger. Now listen, I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not. You've thought about this area here that the Bible said here. Where's that area here? Okay, they were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Can you imagine the families whose world was turned upside down as they buried those babies? Are you listening to me tonight? I'm telling you, there was hurt. And not only was there hurt there, but there was hurt that's coming in the future. Christ is going to bear the sin of you and bear the sin of me. He's already, beloved, looking to that cross, amen. He said, for this cause came I into the world. It didn't shock Jesus as he went to Calvary. He knew before the foundation of the world that that was the way he was headed. It involved hurt. God's plan involves hurt. You know, you listen to some of these TV preachers, they would never say something like that because they don't believe the Bible. If you believe the Bible, man is born of a woman, a few days and full of trouble. Every one of us is one phone call away or one doctor visit away from having our world turned upside down. I may be different, but every time I see that EMS going up and down the road with the lights flashing, I say somebody's world was just turned upside down. Maybe it was a wreck. Maybe it was a stroke. Maybe it was a heart attack. But somebody's hurting when that truck goes down the road with those lights on like that, that ambulance. It involves hurt. God's plan sometimes involves hurt. And many people don't want to hear that. They say, well, man, it's just all peaches and cream. It's just all blessing. Amen. No. We're living under the curse of sin. I'll get on that after a while. And God's plan involves hurt. But thank God, listen, secondly, it involves help. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that in the chapter? Well, help is on the way. For who? I'm going to tell you for who. For all of mankind. Help is on the way. I don't know this, and I won't be dogmatic about it. But I want to just give you something to think about. I want you to think about this with me. Everybody knows about the ministry of Jesus, right? How he goes from place to place and place to place, helping people. Ain't that right? Don't you reckon that somewhere along the way, he encountered one of those moms whose baby died? Amen. Don't you reckon somewhere along the way, he encountered one of those dads whose baby died? You say, Pastor, what do you think he did? I believe he comforted them. Amen. That's what he always did. He was there to help them. Say amen. He was there to explain, listen, I know you're hurting, but God's got a much bigger plan than what you're seeing right now. Amen. And Jesus is coming into the world, and Jesus' life is going to be spared until the time, beloved, when it's time for him to go to Calvary, when it's time for him to give his life. And so, yes, man has a problem, but God has a plan. Not only does that plan involve hurt and it involves help, thank God Jesus is our helper, amen, a very present help in a time of need, but it also involves hope. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, listen, I'm just thinking out loud. If Jesus was to run into one of those mommies, don't you reckon, how many remembers when David's baby died? How many remembers how David fasted and David prayed that that baby would get better? The baby didn't get better. The baby died. Then they looked in there and David's all washing up and he's getting ready to eat now. He'd been fasting, he'd been praying, and they didn't understand, right? Remember what David said? He said, I can't go be with him. Or excuse me, I can't bring him back to be with me, but I can go be with him. That's what I can just see Jesus sitting with a mother and saying, honey, we can't bring him back. He died. But let me tell you what you can do. You can put your trust in me. I'm the Savior. And you can go be with that youngin one day after a while. In other words, Jesus, beloved, listen, he gave them hope, amen, in a place where there was not much hope. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 31 just a minute. I like to jump out of my skin when I saw this today. There's a parallel text here with where we got our message tonight out of Matthew. Look at Jeremiah chapter 31, and I want you to begin reading with me in verse number 15. You'll recognize these words. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, that they shall come again from the land of the enemy. Look at verse 17. Look at these words. I about jumped out of my skin. And there is hope in thine end. Aren't you glad? Thank God. Listen. It was bleak. It was dark. Amen. And listen, when we're talking to people and trying to help people and minister to people that are hurting, we need to let them understand that there's hope in the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Let me give you a bigger picture right here. Listen, I don't know But I think it's kind of, I think it's interesting at the very least. Do you remember in the days of Moses how the babies were killed? How many remembers that in the days of Moses? You know what was happening when those babies were being killed? God was saying, there's a deliverer on the way. Now we come to the birth of Jesus and the babies are being killed again. And you know what God is saying? There's a deliverer on the way. And now we're living in 2025. And we've lost our mind in this country. Amen. Let me give you something about those babies. What the Bible never does say that Mary was pregnant. It don't say that. You know what it says? She was with child. I looked that phrase up and I didn't count them, but over and over and over and over and over in the Bible, she was with child. So-and-so's with child. So-and-so's with child. Listen, they might think that's a blob in there, but God said that's a baby in there. That's a child in there. Amen. And I'm telling you, we might be killing the babies by the thousands, but I believe the Holy Ghost is telling the church, there's a deliverer on the way. Amen. Thank the Lord. There's hope. The blessed hope of the born-again believers that Jesus, even old John, he gets over there and he sees Jesus in the revelation. And man, I'm telling you, he falls at his feet as dead. And then he sees the church age. And then he sees the rapture. Then he sees the great tribulation. Then he sees the marriage of the Lamb. Then he sees the great white throne judgment. Amen. Then he sees the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven like a bride adorned for her husband. You get to the end of the book and John said, listen, I've seen it all. And all I can tell you is, even so, come Lord Jesus. That's the hope of the born-again believer, that our Lord will come. Amen. Our Lord will come again. Yes, man has a problem. And yes, God has a plan. But then thirdly, in the message tonight, the Bible has a promise. The Bible talked about here that weeping. There was a voice heard. It would help us if we would understand, beloved, listen, that man does have a problem and God does have a plan. Help people to understand a little bit about the plan of God. But then the Bible has a promise. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 8 for just a little bit. Romans chapter number 8. I want you to show you what God has promised. The Bible said in verse number 17 of Romans chapter 8, if children, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we, what's that next word? What's them TV evangelists do with verses like that? Amen. When they lie to people and say, if you love God and you send me $100, you'll never hurt. Amen. You'll never suffer. Well, they do with verses like that. The Bible said all them that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Watch what the Word of God said. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also, that we may be also glorified together. In that verse, God is describing a glorious salvation. Look in verse number 18. For I reckon, that's why I believe Paul was from the south. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. Look at this. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. In verse number 17, there's a glorious salvation. In verse number 18, in verse number 19, there's a glorious expectation. If you turn over in the Word of God, in verse number, let's just start reading in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Beloved, listen, the Bible is teaching us here there's a glorious salvation, there's a glorious expectation, there's a glorious justification, and there's a glorious glorification, amen, for you and I that are God's people. You say, Pastor, why? Because God promised. A lot of people do not understand and know the promises of God. Amen. The Bible said here, I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. We've made mention along the way, and I don't believe that man can even comprehend the suffering of Jesus. I really don't. I mean, you can talk about it. You can talk about how he was beaten. You can talk about all of his joints being out of place. You can talk about his bones staring at you. You can talk about the crown of thorns and the nails in the hands and the nails in the feet. But I'm telling you, the suffering was unbelievable. But I'll tell you what I believe. I believe when we see him in glory, it's going to far outweigh the suffering. Say amen. And I see people down here in this walk of life. Beloved, you wonder sometimes that little word, why? Why? You see them suffer, and you see them suffer, and you see them suffer, knowing that they love the Lord. Sister Gwen, your sister, Brother Long's wife, tell me her first name real quickly. Dolores. Sister Dolores. Ever since I knew her, I'm telling you, she suffered. I mean, it was unbelievable, wasn't it, how that she suffered. But I believe if she could say anything to the church right now, she'd say, you ought to see me now. Amen. All the glory. Amen. It's based upon the promises of God. I'll tell you this story and I'll quit tonight. My mom, and I've told it before, but maybe some have not heard it. My mom and my sister was a caretaker for a man that was involved in a car wreck. And he was very bitter because of the car wreck. He was paralyzed. He was in a wheelchair. And he was very bitter because it happened to him. And his name was Fred, but his nickname was Frog. And my mom's name was Catherine, but her nickname was Cat. So Frog called Mom Cat, and Mom called Frog Fred Frog. Amen. So this is the story of Cat and Frog, amen. And he was bitter. But my sister got my mom and dad involved. They went to visit him. And my mom and dad were wonderful people. And they did exactly what we're talking about here in this message tonight. I believe that's why God brought this back. They heard the voice. They heard that voice of weeping. They heard that voice of lamentation. And they come alongside. You say, what did they do? Did they preach to him? No, they loved him, Brother Gary. They loved him and loved on him and loved him. And one day, it was about 3 months before Frog died, Frog said yes to the Lamb of God. And God completely changed his life, changed his demeanor. He was no longer bitter, but he was sweet. One day after that, Frog looked up at Cat and said, Cat, said, reckon when I get to heaven, Jesus will let me have a golden wheelchair. And my mama, Cat, said to Frog, said, Frog, honey, said, you don't understand. There ain't no wheelchairs where we're going. Amen. Amen. Ain't that good, youngins? But I mean, you take a man from being bitter, Brother Dale, to being tickled to ride a golden wheelchair in heaven. Amen. I mean, he'd been tickled to death just to got him a wheelchair in glory. Amen. And I tell you what, as much as Trump likes gold, we'd have had to call it the Trump chair, wouldn't we? If it was up there. Amen. But anyway, ain't going to be no Trump chairs up there. Amen. No golden wheelchairs in glory. We're going to walk. We're going to talk. The whole message is geared towards this. How many will help me listen for that voice? Did you know sometimes they don't say anything? Did y'all know what I'm talking about? Sometimes they don't say anything whatsoever. But I tell you, if you'll hear the voice of the Lord will steer you in that direction where you need to go, where you can be a blessing. I don't know about you, but that's the joy of my life. It's just to get to be a little blessing to somebody else along life's way. Amen. That's the joy of my life. If I can do that, I've had a good day. Amen. Thank the Lord. How many's glad you come tonight? It's a little bit different for Christmas, but I tell you what, I believe it's needed. I believe it's needed. Somebody's got a neighbor. Somebody's got a friend. Somebody's got a coworker. Their Christmas is going to be tough. Amen. They need a friend. And some of them need to be introduced to the friend that we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you for coming this way. Pray for the services Sunday.